Everyone needs a little help, even if you have trouble admitting it. You need sales help. It doesn't matter how long you've been in sales. The more you learn, the more you earn. If your sales need help, it's time to consider the Gittimer Learning Academy. It's the fun and easy way to brush up on sales fundamentals and learn new advanced strategies to close your next deal. We've got hundreds of hours of lessons on closing, referrals, prospecting. It's like Jeffrey sitting there right next to you, helping you close your next deal. You won't find a more comprehensive library of sales knowledge that you can actually use. Go to GittimerLearningAcademy.com and sign up for a free demo. Did I mention it's free? Free demo. I like free. There are millions of women in business that are crushing it. And I mean, seriously, crushing it. Some who you know and many who you've never even heard of. They're going to share how they did it so you can figure out how you can do it too. But here's the deal. It's not just about sales and selling. So I'm going to be bringing you the woo too. Get ready, get set, because it's almost go time for Women Crush Wednesday. Here we go. I am so ready for today's episode. Thank you for pushing play. It is going to be freaking phenomenal. I'm Jen Gluckow, host of Woman Crush Wednesday on Sell or Die. And today we have a very special guest. Her name is Kenna Eamon. She's a co-owner of the hair salon where I get my hair done. But let me give you a little bit of the backstory to how we met before we get into the interview. So I've been in Charlotte for 5 years now, and every single hairdresser I've been to thinks I'm a blonde, and they literally make me blonde. And being from the North, I am not blonde. I am a brunette, and I don't want blonde highlights. Nothing against people with blonde hair or blonde highlights. They look pretty on everyone else, just not me. And so for 5 years, I have been searching for a hairstylist that could just get and understand what I wanted and then create it on my head. And I just haven't been able to find the right person until now. So I started asking some of my friends, you know, who they went to. And I found out that my friend, who's, you know, a very beautiful person, takes care of herself really well, Arden, she recommended I go see Kenna. So I call the salon and they tell me, we're really sorry, but Kenna is fully booked. Like, she's not taking on any new clients. You know what that meant? That meant I immediately wanted to get in with Kenna so much more than I originally did, because I'm like, wow, like, other people think she's great too. If she's fully booked, I'm going to see Kenna. And so I'm like, okay, but you don't understand. We're in this group together and we're like affiliated in this way. And these five people, because by then like four or five other ladies had told me to go see her. These five people have now told me to go see her. Like, I just see if she could make an exception. And she did. How freaking cool is that? She did. Okay. So I got in. I don't know if I'm her last client on the planet ever. I'm sure at some point someone will move out of the city and she'll have another opening. But everyone in her salon, this is what I've noticed, that she and her co-founder, Lauren, they have created this atmosphere where every single person there who works on you holds the same level of quality as the owners. They won't put someone on the floor unless they're up to their standard, their quality. And that makes me feel comfortable going in and really seeing anyone in the salon. And so this is not about my hair. You probably don't give a shit if I'm a brunette or a blonde or redhead or purple-headed or something like that one day.
Hold on now. Purple head, again, purple hair. I would pay to see this. And listen, I bet a whole bunch of diehards would too.
Pink and purple hair is making a comeback. Probably not for me, but I've seen a lot of people wear it really well. Just like I said, I'm a brunette, okay? Anyway, so I went from the client who sat in her chair on her computer the entire time because I didn't want to talk to anybody. I just wanted to get my hair done, to the client who puts my computer back in my bag sometimes because I genuinely want to talk and find out what's going on and hang out. And, you know, I've become friendly with Kenna and her team and her, all the people in her salon. I mean, I'm there quite a lot. Let's be honest. I don't, this is like a real fact right now, and not a, you can feel free to cut this, but I don't like to wash my own hair. Okay. Like Jen's Secret exposed. It's not my thing. I do it because I have to do it, but it's not my favorite thing. So I prefer to go someplace where they can do it for me. This is an amazing interview. I promise you, it's not about my hair at all. Actually, Kenna's going to tell you how she and her business partner grew this business, how they hire using something called the Enneagram, and you're going to learn all about that. She's going to tell you how she creates efficiency in the workplace. And let me tell you, they are pretty damn efficient there. And she's going to bring her positive, bubbly attitude. I know your hair is standing up on edge, or however they have that phrase. I know you want me to get to the interview, so let's get to it. It's gonna rock. You didn't always own this business. Tell me, like, how it came about and where you started.
Oh, gosh. Okay, so I always thought that I wanted to go into theater.
Ooh.
I know, right? You didn't even know that about
me.
And I started thinking about like a future in theater, and let's be real, I was never going to go to Broadway. So I just started thinking about other things that I liked about it. And I loved doing everyone's hair and makeup for shows. And so I was like, maybe I'll go into cosmetology. And so I decided to move down here. And I did cosmetology school here. I moved from Michigan almost 10 years ago, about
oh,
10
wow.
years ago.
Okay.
No, a decade. And so then I worked at Chick-fil-A doing marketing for them for a little while I went through school. And then I got a
job. Did you eat a lot of it? Because I would probably eat like one meal a day there,
you know,
minimum.
I gained about 10 pounds and got about 10 cavities from the sweet tea.
Yep.
And then backed off. And here we are today. But I wanted to kind of like find a way to use my talents to like better the community, which sounds so cheesy, but it's just, you know, the truth.
Yeah.
And so I started out at Modern Salon and Spa, which is a salon in Charlotte. They had 5 locations. They were like top in the nation. I got a great education there, was there for about 3 years, and then wanted a little more freedom to travel with my mom and some other people. And so I kind of decided I was just going to do my own thing. And
were you scared?
Yes.
So you had built, I think, I'm assuming by that time, a consistent book of business.
Yes.
You knew about how much you were going to make every week, every month.
I thought I knew.
And then you quit.
Yeah.
And that's scary as hell.
It was terrifying. I remember the first day thinking, what did I do? This is terrible. This is a horrible decision. But then it just kind of all fell into place. And I was able, I think confirmation for me in those first years were when I was able to kind of fill my white space with the things that I really wanted to do, because I was able to pay my bills working less hours.
Ooh.
And be able to kind of like shift it and be like, okay, now I have this white space created because I'm working smarter, not harder.
White space like on the calendar?
Yes, like on my
Ooh,
calendar.
I love that.
So yeah, then I was able to get involved with some charities and stuff like that. And it just kind of from there, I was like, okay, this is what I want to be doing.
So you started this amazing salon in Charlotte, which I know because I'm really picky about where I go, and I found
yes,
you,
you
and it's
you
never
very
been the
picky.
Same.
Oh, you're sweet.
And you don't run the salon like most people run their salons. I don't know if you know that.
Oh, thank you. You know, I was at Sola for 3 years, then I met my business partner, Lauren, and whenever we met, we realized we kind of had a vision for the same thing, which is something so much greater than just hair. And so that's why our tagline is because it's about more than just great hair, because at the end of the day, I want you to love your hair, but I want you to love you, and I want you to feel connected, and I want what you bring into my salon, which at the end of the day is dollars, I want those dollars to go to good use for the community. And so that's kind of where we decided, you know, let's run this salon almost like a charity. We give back a percentage of all of our sales and all of our product sales for services and products each month to a local charity. And so it was just kind of, you're right, it is, it's different. It's very different.
It's different in that aspect, and also in the aspect that, like, you, I felt like I got a little bit of a training of how to be a customer when I first came on board, so to speak. So first of all, you did this, it wasn't just show up and I'm going to dye your hair. It was show up for your consultation so we can talk about how I'm going to dye your hair. So what's the mindset behind that strategy? Like, because that's free for the client,
correct,
right?
Complimentary.
Do most people then follow through with the appointment?
Yes. And so one of the things that I think is a challenge in our industry is saying no. People are so afraid to tell a client no, because they're worried they're going to be like, well, I'm going to go elsewhere, which is fine. If you're asking for something that's going to damage your hair or not look best on you. I mean, I remember our consultation. I was like, oh, I wonder if she seems a little intense. Like, I wonder if she's going to get on board with me.
Oh, no.
And then I think, like, both of our intensities met each other. Yeah. And I was like, wait, I have a crush on you and I'm going to fix your hair and we're going to be friends.
This is what Woman Crush Wednesday, so that says it all.
There you go. Branding on point. But yeah, and so it's just a way to kind of navigate through, like, what are your end goals? How long is it going to take you to get there? And realistically, is that even something that's going to look best on you? And so from there, we can kind of navigate and we can be on the same page instead of just, absolutely, yeah, we can totally do that. And then you walk out and be like, well, you didn't tell me it would take 3 times to get me this light or 3 times to get my layers to grow out or, you know, whatever that may be.
It's so interesting because I think that in so many service-based businesses, the owner wants the money and wants the sale right now. And they're not thinking long-term, they're thinking short-term. And so by doing that consult up front and some of the training, I'll talk about that in a second. I feel like you whipped my ass into gear as a customer. You really set the standard and the stage for what it's like. So for example, you were like, oh, and by the way, before you leave to reserve your appointment, we need your credit card.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, like, does she think I'm not going to pay? Does she know I always pay?
I don't know
but
you.
You don't know me. That's totally true. Like, yeah. I'm this random stranger.
Yeah.
And then you say, and by the way, let me explain our cancellation policy. I'm like, okay, am I at a doctor's office? Is this, like, where am I? What's going on? And you're like, I don't know, what, like 48 hours?
Yeah, 48 hours notice. And to be honest, like, before I opened Kenna Caneo with Lauren, it was kind of one of those things where it was like, hey, if you have to cancel, no big deal. I get it. But we put these things in place to protect our stylists. Because at the end of the day, you know, I had a girl one time, and this is what kind of made me be like, I need a cancellation policy so people are aware. I think one of the biggest things is clients just aren't aware of how people get paid. And I had a client who called, and it was, I totally understand this. We've all been there. We've all eaten ramen noodles for years to make it. Listen, I have done it. But she called me and she said, hey, you know, I really thought I was going to get paid more this week and I wasn't. And so, like, I just, like, am worried that it's like I'm not going to be able to afford to come in. So I need to cancel today. And, you know, I realized I don't think people understand the concept of, like, I understand that, like, you did not get paid and therefore you're not able to afford this. But when you cancel day of and you don't show up, I don't get paid.
Right. Because you can't fill that spot.
Correct. And so I think it's just like the mentality of explaining to people why we have this put in place. Mm-hmm. It's not just because we are like, oh, you know, showed you're going to get charged.
Correct.
But it's to protect our stylists because they're planning on that money. They're budgeting for that money. Mm-hmm. They're budgeting to be fully booked because they're great. They're badass stylists and I love them and they're so talented and they have a waiting list.
Well, so I loved that aspect because that's when I realized, like, okay, this is not just like a place where I can come get my hair done, but like this is a place I can actually like sit in your chair and talk business because you know what's up. Like, what salon do you guys go to where they charge you to cancel? Most don't because they're afraid.
Yeah.
They're afraid they're going to lose you as a customer.
Yeah.
And you're setting that standard of saying, look, like, we honor our employees. Mm-hmm. We honor you too, Miss Customer. But like, we honor our employees as well and their time. And we need you to do the same. And
correct.
So that to me was like a really cool concept. I'm imagining it makes stylists like not walk, but like run to want to work for you.
Yeah, absolutely. We get a lot of applications each week. And that's one of the things. We've been so picky about our team and very protective of our team. We are actually going through the process. So anyone who's listening, who's in hair school, who's awesome and wants to be part of something bigger, please apply, because we're having a hard time, you know, just finding people who we feel like match our commitment level. And I know Lauren and I are crazy. I had a client the other day be like, "You are the worst workaholic of anyone I've ever met." And I'm like, "I know, it's fine." My eyes twitching from stress, but I love it. So we know we're crazy, and we know that, you know, you may not be cut out for this, and that's okay. We've hired and fired and hired and had people quit. And, you know, all of them, like, I wish them the best of luck. We had a girl who was super sweet and we loved her, but she was just like, "I don't want to work this much." And I was like, "Sweet, me neither. But guess what? This is what I chose."
This is yeah. What we do here.
And if you don't want to be part of the team, that's totally fine. But yeah, it definitely creates like a culture of a team that's really committed and shows up. I mean, we have girls who, we have a year-long assistant program, and both of the girls who are in it right now are at their year, if not over their year, and still fully committed and not afraid to put in the hard work. And that tells me they're going to be around long term.
Yeah, for sure. And so you use some interesting system to hire people and profile people when you're looking for candidates. Can you talk about that?
I think you're referring to the Enneagram.
Yes.
Which is my favorite thing in the world. And I would like everyone to know that I'm really good at pegging people, and I totally pegged Jen. I've been bothering you to take your Enneagram forever.
I took this quiz, and it told me I had three numbers. And I was like, "But which one am I?" And it's funny because it said I was a 3 and then a 2 and then an 8.
Yeah.
And the new quiz that you sent me the right link for, because I was like, "What do I do? Which one am I?" So you sent me this new link. So I took your quiz or the quiz you recommend, and I was a 3 wing 2.
Which I totally called.
And then on all of my, it shows you like the number of questions you answer at a specific number. And my third number was 8. And
yeah,
I was like,
absolutely.
"Oh, okay." But I don't know what any of this means. And I bet most of our listeners have no idea what these numbers mean.
But if you do and you listen, you are rolling your eyes right now saying, "Of course Jen's a 3 wing 2.
So I learned that 3 means I'm the achiever type.
Yes. Shocker.
And 2, I think, means helpful.
Yes, the helper.
The helper.
Yes. And the interesting thing is, like, people lean to one of their wings, and your wing has to be the number next to you. So you'd be a 3 wing 2 or a 3 wing 4.
Oh.
And you're definitely a 3 wing 2.
Okay.
And a 2 under stress goes to an 8, which is where your 8 comes in, which I have not told you yet.
Oh.
Which is interesting.
What's 8? I didn't look that one up.
A challenger. That is what I am.
Ah. Okay, so you use this to actually determine who's going to be a good fit at the salon?
Yeah, so, you know, I would never want someone to think, like, "I'm scared to take my Enneagram. Is there a bad number?" There are no bad numbers. There are just numbers that fit better in better positions and work better with a different number. And so that's one of the things on our application that it says, what is your Enneagram? Because one of the things we found is that actually all of our front desk girls right now, except for one, are 6s or 2s.
Okay.
And so they're either the helper or the loyalist. And so it's really interesting just to kind of see, like, what numbers work well together, what numbers.
Yes.
You just want to know, you know, we use it for, okay, this is our first interview. This is what we know on paper you are. I know, no one can be put in a box, blah, blah, blah. All those 5s out there are rolling their eyes at me right now. Like, you can't put people in a box, you can't figure them out. But it helps us to know what questions to ask next. So, for instance, if I was interviewing you, I would be like, "Oh my gosh, Jen, tell me about this time that you saw something that you like really wanted in life, and you put in like all the steps to get there." And you'd be like, "I don't know, I've just always done stuff." And you're like, "Okay, cool."
Yeah.
Or if you're talking to somebody who's a 9, which is a peacemaker, I want to ask them about conflict resolution. Tell me about a time when you had something come up at work that really bothered you with another coworker. How did you handle that? And so it's just kind of figuring out like their strengths and weaknesses based on that, so you kind of know how they'll fit on the team.
Hey, everybody. This is Gina Tremarco.
And Rachel Tipton.
And we are
Women Your Mother Warned You About,
the new podcast that does what?
Makes sales sexy again.
What's this podcast about, Rachel?
It's a blend of best business practices and real life hacks. And it's filled with laughter, random chatter, practical advice, and some serious stuff.
It's not just for women, though, right?
No, it's a blend of best business practices and real life hacks for men and for women.
Listen to us on the Sell or Die Network,
womenyourmotherwarnedyouabout.com.
Listen to us on iTunes, Stitcher, Overcast, and anywhere that you can find podcasts. And
be sure to subscribe, comment, share our podcast, and give us a review. Tune in and listen to Women Your Mother Warned You About,
the podcast that makes sales sexy again.
You've been warned.
That's really cool. I think I'm going to have our whole team here take it.
You should do it.
Because it will help us even better understand each other.
Yes.
That I like yes. that.
And we use it for that. We know how to motivate each person at on our team based on their Enneagram. So like, I have a girl who, her name's Taylor, and she's awesome, and I love her. She's a 3. So if you sit down with her and you're like, okay, so I need you to work on this, and then these are the numbers you need to hit, and I think if you do this, 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 and this, this would be practical steps to get you there. She's like, whatever. What do I need to do? I'll get it done. Like, don't give me steps. Just don't tell me how to do it. Yeah, just tell me what to do.
The goal.
Yes. And then we have other girls that you have to be like, all right, let me lay this out for you. You know Krista,
yep.
right? She's the best, my assistant. She needs to just see it on paper, and
okay.
it needs to make sense because she's a 1. She's the perfectionist. So oh. she's like, okay, whoa, there's like a right way
That's
and wrong
why
way.
My hair is always so perfect.
I know. Her blowouts are the best. And then we have Kate, who is our other assistant. And so you have to come to her with a like this is a problem to figure out. How can we figure this
Ooh.
Out? Because she's brilliant, like she's so in her head, but you have to know how to motivate that. And so it's just really interesting.
This is really interesting. Before we even started the show, you were saying that this is older than the DISC and the
yeah.
Myers-Briggs and some of those other assessments.
All of those assessments are kind of based off of this, but it's coming back around because, you know, us millennials, we're like back into the like, let's do things the old way. I don't know. I just feel like
I love
crazy.
It. So sales managers who are listening, this could be a really good assessment. It's free. You can get it online.
Yes.
We'll put it in the show notes. For you to have your sales people take or
yeah.
even, you know, salesperson that if you're listening, you should take this just
yeah.
to know more about you. Like reading the things about me, I was like, how do they know all that? That's so scary. That's exactly who I am.
Yeah.
It was really cool.
Yeah. And it helps you to understand. It'll tell you like what you are when you're stressed and what you are when you're healthy. So like for me, I go to a 5 when I'm stressed. So when I start overthinking things and like over investigating and getting like really infatuated with one thing and getting all the facts, I'm like, oh, maybe
what's a 5?
The investigator.
Oh.
The skeptic. So it's just interesting. It helps you to understand yourself and how you're wired and how other people are wired and how to interact with them.
I love it. Okay, so what are some of the things you learned when you started your business that you really had no clue about, that you like wish you had known?
Everything. gosh, okay, so there's so many things. I feel like I wish I would have known that stressing about things doesn't make them turn out any better.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I would have known that giving control to somebody else who's doing something at 90% is better than you striving to do it at 110% and burning yourself out.
Mm.
That's a big thing. We have an amazing salon manager. We could not be here without her. And Lauren, my business partner, is also an 8. And so we're both control freaks. And so it was really hard for us to hand stuff over to her. But when we started handing things over, we realized that like half of the back of the house stuff, she did better than us. And if there ever was something that she was only at 90%, she's a 1 as well, she would ask questions and she would find the right way to do it. And so it just, I think we really stressed about us not doing everything. And now I'm just like, you know, things get done.
Yeah.
Like they will get done.
Were you ever worried about, so you open up shop and a lot of people think like, okay, we're open. All the clients are going to come.
Yeah.
Were you ever worried? Like, how are we going to get customers? Where
yeah.
are they going to come from?
I mean, that's always a fear, right? So Lauren and I have both been doing hair for 10 years. And so we have a solid book of clientele. And I think we did really set ourselves up for success when we hired Taylor and Larissa, because Larissa's been with us since before day 1. And she had a great book of clientele, and she's a phenomenal stylist, and so is Taylor. And so we have that. But I think, like, there is that kind of, like, oh my goodness, are we gonna, like, are we gonna open the doors and, like, nobody's here? But they do. And, like, you know, at the end of the day, word of mouth is the best thing. You can look at Yelp, you can look at Google, but at the end of the day, most people ask their girlfriend where they get their hair done.
Yes.
So as long as you have, like, above and beyond customer service, I feel like that's what you're telling your friends, right? You're like, oh, I go here, and while I'm in the shampoo bowl, I get a hand massage from Krista, or a head massage.
Yes.
Or I walk in and I bring my own coffee, and they know that, and so they have a cup waiting.
You guys, I bring Death Wish coffee pods with me.
It's Death adorable.
Wish sponsors our show.
Thank you.
So they've all heard about Death Wish coffee.
It's great. It's great. So yeah.
That's funny. Okay, and what are some of the things you were, like, most concerned about before opening?
I think when I first opened at Sola, I was, like, so worried I was not going to make money. And I remember someone saying to me, one of my mentors, she was like, the money's going to come. You need to worry about not messing up people's hair.
Ooh.
And I was like, what? But I'm so good at hair. And she's right, because it was a whole new product line and you had to learn that. And I think, you know, at the end of the day, if you really chase hard after what you want, you realize that either the money comes or the money doesn't matter. And so I think that's one thing that, you know, Lauren and I have talked about a lot, that we were really worried. We were like, should we bring in more stylists? But they weren't up to the level of our customer service or our excellence. And so we just chose not to. And, you know, I think that that's something that you're like, you know, I wish I would have just known that it's okay.
So you focus on quality, and you, yes, focus on delivering,
yes,
above and beyond, because no one expects a hand massage when they're, yeah, getting their hair done, right? That's like, whoa, cool.
Extra.
Yeah, exactly. And wowing the customer, and then word of mouth.
Yeah, absolutely. I believe, you know, with my background being in Chick-fil-A, you think about Chick-fil-A and it is like, for the most part, every time you walk in, you just feel so special. And I think one of the biggest things we try to stress is that we are 1,000 people's stylists, but we are one person's only stylist.
Yes.
And so as much as I see 15 people every single day,
I thought I was your only client.
That's great. That's my whole point. But you know, when you give people an experience that feels like they are superb, they are special, they are treated like a queen, they forget that you're doing that for everybody else. And so everybody, we really want everyone to feel like they are a top priority and they are our only client, which has come to back to bite us in the butt sometimes, because sometimes we're like, Lauren and I will constantly be like, this client's 30 minutes late. Do they think I'm just sitting around waiting to do their hair? And we're like, kind of, because we act like they're our only client.
Right, exactly.
But yeah, so, you know, I just feel like when you give that experience, people talk about it.
They do. That's actually how I found you. So our mutual friend, or your client, yeah, Arden.
Yes. And my friend, and my friend. Seven friend. She's a seven.
She's a seven. So what's a seven?
The enthusiast.
Oh, okay. So she was. So
yes, very much.
I needed a new hairstylist, and everyone in Charlotte wants to make me blonde because there's a lot of blondes here in the South.
Oh, no.
And I'm not a blonde. No. And I literally said to her, I need a female who's a brunette.
Yeah.
Like, do you know someone who's a female and a brunette and does really good hair? And she's like, I do.
Arden, I love her. I love her.
So it was pretty funny, because I don't know why I felt like blondes don't know how to make me brunette.
You just know the wrong blondes.
I just had not had the right experiences, yeah, here. And so it was very funny that I like made that connection in my, yeah, head that I need a brunette, and you, yeah, happen to be one. So
I am.
It worked out.
I am
well.
Very brunette.
Oh man. So okay, you've built this amazing culture at the salon where people, like, you have these two ladies who are incredible stylists. I see them, and they've gone through a year-long training program, and they're still there, ready to have their own chairs and all that.
Yep.
How do you build such a loyal culture, and a culture that, like, people wake up and they're excited to get to work every day?
Yeah. I think that people rise to the level of their leader. And so if I show up to work and I'm ready to work and ready to hustle, I think that they're going to meet that. And I think at the end of the day, people remember how you make them feel. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things that is so important to us is I want somebody to walk in the door and have no idea I own the salon. I want to be sweeping if I have time and if Krista or Kate don't beat me to it. And I just, that's something that we were so passionate about because leaders don't lead from ahead, they lead from behind. And at other places I've worked, I've had great bosses and I've had terrible bosses. I've had people who, you know, will stop me in the middle of doing what I'm doing to ask me to do a small task that they could do just because they're in charge.
And that's the worst.
I know, it's really
sad. And by
the
way, I've witnessed, like, I've walked in and, like, Lauren will just, no one's at the front desk, so she'll rush up and be like, oh, hey, welcome, you know. Yeah. Like, I've seen it in action. I've seen you do it. I mean, it's incredible. Did you just grow up with that mindset? Did you learn, like, did you learn it from being on the job and not liking the person taking you up to ask?
Some of all of those things. Lauren's back, her dad was in hospitality.
Okay.
And so he did hospitality for a lot of like big names. And so it was all about customer experience. So she came from that. I came from Chick-fil-A and also just the way we're raised, like my parents are just so like.
Well, you're Midwest.
Yes, very Midwest.
So you're welcoming.
Very welcoming, but no nonsense.
Yep.
And so, you know, that's just something we wanted to really push to our team is that we are a team. And so if, you know, even the other day, Lauren's client, I helped Kate blow dry. And like in another salon, no other owner would do, not no other owner, but
most other owners.
I've experienced where that these are your tasks and these are your tasks. And one of the things that Mackenzie always says in interviews is like, if I ever hear you say that's not my job, this will no longer be your job.
Oh my God. You've never heard Jeffrey say that, but I swear he says that too.
Oh my word.
Yes.
He says
that exact line. Like literally, like everyone here pitches in for whatever.
Team.
Exactly.
And if my client's not greeted at the front because someone's off doing something and Taylor is standing there and she doesn't greet them, we all fail. That's not just a me fail with my client or the front desk fail. It's very, you know, we had one day that was like crazy and Lauren and I were out of town and we got a picture sent to us by, I think it was a client, and they were like, your front desk girl is shampooing a client. This is so cute. And I was like, oh my word. Now, just from legal purposes, it was a family member, so it was okay. She was able to touch them.
There rules about that?
Yeah. Unless you have your cosmetology license, you can't technically touch a client.
I know.
But it's great. And even our salon manager, like some days we'll come in and she has a mannequin and she's like testing out new products. Like she knows nothing about products. She didn't go to hair school. She went to business school. Like, but to have that level of commitment from our entire team, especially management, it trickles down.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I've seen you do the multitask thing, and this is really impressive. And I don't think any other client studies, like, the business aspect when they go get their hair done as much as I do.
I love
it. But we're like, okay, so you time it where I walk in at my 7 a.m. appointment, and yes, it's open at 7.
Every day.
And and you do whatever you need to do for my hair dye for like 15 minutes. And then while my hair is sitting at 7:15, your next client arrives. Mm-hmm. I'm like, ooh, look at this. She's taking up two chairs.
Yep.
And and you do that thing, and then Krista takes me to the sink, and then sometimes even a third client will walk in, and you'll do like a bang trim or some other thing.
Yeah.
Like, how did you think through, I mean, this is obviously very strategic.
Very.
So how did you come up with the system? Because I've never seen, you don't see that in most salons.
Yeah, so it's a lot. There's a lot of moving parts. And once again, this is why people cannot be late to their appointments, because if they're 15 minutes late, the whole day's thrown off,
right.
Which we totally understand stuff comes up and we navigate through it. It's not a big deal. But it kind of came from, so you say strategic, and one of my top strengths is strategic. Ooh. And so I always double booked that way, even without an assistant. And I would like change things so it was just like a quick haircut or bang trim, not a full another color. But that was one of the things, you know, if you're going to have an assistant, then they need to pay for themselves. Because at the end of the day, having an assistant isn't so that I can just sit on Instagram. It's so I can get more clients in who are waiting. And so it is. It's down to, we book on 15-minute increments, and each service is a la carte. Yes, I know. I'm so impressed. I'm like, look at you. Also, you show up at like 6:50, not 7, because you're always early. But so we just had to kind of go through and be like, okay, let's process this. Let's talk it through. And so Lauren and I went through and we're like, if we start this person at this time, this person can come here. This is this person's processing time. We can switch here. We can do this. We can do that. And then at the end of the day, you know, you're doubling your revenue because you have an extra...
Doubling.
Yeah. So Lauren and I, when you look at our numbers, and I'm just getting real with y'all because this is all about like the business side of it, right? So if you look at our numbers from over a year ago when we were on our own, and then you look at our numbers now, they're about double, which means we're doubling our revenue, which means we're able to put more into the business, which means we're able to pay two front desk people to be there to greet you with your LaCroix mm-hmm. or grab your coffee pod from you and make yep. it for you. And so it's kind of like that bigger picture idea of, hey, listen, we're doubling revenue. That's awesome. We're going to put it back into the business. We're going to put it into our assistants. We do a lot of education with them and we do all of that because they deserve that.
Mm-hmm. So diehard, this is a really good time to take a step back for a minute and think about what can you be doing in your day to create more white space. So where can you actually be doubling up on your tasks and actually be multitasking in a way that's efficient and not, you know, just distracting or detracting your focus, but in a way that's so efficient, like Kenna's describing, whether you own a hair salon or any business, or, you know, you're selling someone else's products, and how can you use help from an assistant, even if your company won't hire one for you, like a virtual assistant who can help gather leads for you or whatever it may be, and then create more white space. Because I love what you said about at the beginning, like to come full circle about you've been doing all these things to then create like the white matter in your calendar.
Yeah. Well, and my mom has always said, she's always told me there's three categories of tasks. There's things only you can do. Like only I can cut your hair, right? You're not going to let anyone else cut your hair.
No, that's just not.
There's things you can delegate to someone else to do. So like Krista, she can shampoo you. She can blow dry you. She can help me flat iron. She can help me do all these things. Mm-hmm. And then there's things anyone can do. We have a maid. Mm-hmm. We're not going to be cleaning the salon. Every Saturday, our amazing, sweet little maid shows up and she cleans the entire place and she's the cutest and we love her. But it's stepping back and realizing that if I give up control on these specific tasks and find someone I trust and trust someone enough to take those over, I'm creating more white space for another Jen that comes in. Ooh. And I can cut your hair. And at the end of the day, bringing in another haircut is going to make me more money than blow drying your hair. And Krista's great at it.
Yeah.
And so it's just kind of like deciding, can I give up enough control and am I okay with the risk of this for a little while? Like the first couple months with an assistant's terrible because you're teaching them all these things that your other assistant read your mind for a year.
Right.
But it's worth it in the end because it frees up your space to do things only you can do.
How do you know when you can trust someone to do, like, especially for things you feel like, oh, I do those things so well. Like, how do you know when you can trust someone to take those things over?
I think it's just like letting that trust build. Like I, for a long time, I would ask Krista, like, well, what would you tone her with? And she'd be like, I would do this. And I'd be like, yeah, well, I would tweak this because I always have to have something I'd tweak because I'm a pain in the butt. And then once it gets to that place where, I mean, you see now, mm-hmm. I hardly have to say anything to Krista. She knows it's like, here we go. She knows I get this, I do that. And then she knows, like, I still want to check your toner and see if it pulled to what I want it to pull to.
Right.
But she's able to do all of the other stuff. And so I think, you know, back to what I was saying before, I've had to realize that things done at 90% are okay as long as it's the stuff like a blow dry mm-hmm. or a shampoo.
And the client won't even know.
No, they won't. And at the end of the day, like because we're a little crazy, I know within a few weeks you'll be doing it at 110% or you won't make the cut. But for a little while, if you need people to do these simple tasks at 90% to prove that they're trustworthy and show that they're growing towards that 110, it's okay.
Yeah, that's cool. So last topic I want to talk about, you mentioned education.
Yes.
And it seems like you guys have a pretty big focus on education.
Yes.
What does that look like and what should it look like in most businesses?
Well, I just, at the end of the day, education takes time and it takes money. And it's hard. I'm not going to lie. When we sat down and looked at our first month of revenue, Lauren and I were like, we're rich. bitch. And then Mackenzie was like, no, we need to hire 6 people and do this and do that. And hey, hello, I need a salary. Can you pay me? And so I think it just has to be something that you are 110% committed to, because we not only pay our assistants to be there, and they're gaining information and they're gaining knowledge by being there with us. A lot of salons do an apprentice program and it's unpaid. And so it's for, like, you know, however.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah. And that's totally fine too. But it's not like we pay them crazy amounts, but we do pay them, and then we pay them for their education time. And then we pay to bring in platform artists to come and do a class, and we pay them to be there because it's important to us. And, you know, we kind of looked at everything for the future of our company. And we were like, listen, we can do this the long and right way, or we can do this the quick and fast way, where sure, there's more money in our accounts and we can, you know, do this and do that. Lauren and I used to travel outside of the country like 3 times a year. We opened and we said, no travel. We have to put our money into our business and into our education, because at the end of the day, if I take 1 year out of my time and I pour into Krista and Kate, and Lauren pours into Krista and Kate, and we bring people in, they're going to go on the floor, and I'm going to know if I can't get you in. 1, I trust Krista to do your hair. And 2, you would trust her. If I said, yes, Krista's going to do your new growth, you'd be like, okay, I love her. I know her. And so I know I can put her on the floor and know that she is at the quality of what we need, versus hiring someone just to get dollars in the door, that the quality is not there. Because at the end of the day, it's all about the experience and the quality of what you're getting, even if it takes longer to get there. So I just encourage people, put in the time and put in the money. I mean, I cringe. Mackenzie doesn't even tell us the amount of money we spend on education because, you know what? It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. It's important to us to pour into them. And we even do, if they go and volunteer for something with us, we give them what we call KK dollars, which is towards their education. So if they come to us and they say, hey, there's a class in New York, it's $1,000. We automatically will always pay 50% of their education. So if you want to go out and do education.
There's a class in Paris. It's
called Jen's Wedding.
It's $1,000,000.
Let's go. No, but so we will. We'll automatically, if you want to put in 50%, we'll put in 50%. And for that other 50%, you have these KK dollars. So if you went and you volunteered for, you know, 50 hours and you have $500 of KK dollars and the class is $1,000 and we'll already pay half, your class is free.
That's cool.
It's just so important to us.
Wow, that's amazing. And so if your company isn't paying for your education and you're not as lucky, then you should be investing in yourself.
100%. And that's for any industry. Mm-hmm. But in our industry, the number one reason somebody leaves a stylist, because, you know, I always ask, right? I'm like, why did you leave your last stylist?
Yeah.
And the number one reason is because nothing changed. They never suggested something new. They never tried something new. And at the end of the day, like, yeah, we're creatures of habit, but everyone wants to try something a little different.
Yes.
And so for us, if you're doing the same thing every day, nothing changes, you lose clients.
Yeah.
Whereas if you bring someone in and you sit down with your next client on Tuesday morning and you're like, guess what? I did this class and there's something new and it's so exciting, it's so fun. I could do the same thing on your hair, but you think it's new and you're like excited. So you're like, this is great. So I just think, you know, it's so important.
And it will probably feel different for the client.
For sure. And at the end of the day, we all know that hairdresser that still dresses like she's 19 and still does hair in a cap because she never got any more education.
Mm-hmm.
You get there, you think you've arrived. I don't care how amazing you are as a stylist. I still, my mentor, Jesse, I still will be like, oh my gosh, give me this formula. Tell me this. Can you teach me another cut? And I mean, if I had time, I would go hang out in her salon every single day because she's a wealth of knowledge, and she does the same thing with her mentors. And it's just this never ending cycle of education minded.
All right, how cool is that Enneagram stuff? I want you guys to go and take the test. We're going to put the link to it in the show notes. And then DM me and DM Kenna and tell us your Enneagrams, okay? We'll link to her Instagram as well. But tell us your Enneagrams because I want to know, like, more about you. And that's a really fast way to get to know who you are. So for me, I'm a type 3, wing 2. And
I don't know much about what that means yet, because Kenna's going to give us like a whole training for our office on Enneagrams and how we can work best with each other. It's going to be real cool.
Hey, why wasn't I informed of this?
Oh, yeah, it's a surprise.
Oh great.
But I think type threes like to get shit done and like to be successful. I forget the exact name of what the type three means. And then type two is the helper. So I like to be an achiever and a helper. That's me. Like it's type three is success oriented, that kind of thing. So, and I'm the helper kind. So it makes perfect sense as to why I would love selling. Because A, I like to be successful, and you know, you can measure your own success in your sales very easily. But B, I like helping, and that's the thing that makes you win more and more sales. So I certainly hope that one of your Enneagram numbers is a part of a helping number, something where you like to serve others or help others or that kind of thing, if you're in sales. But it would be interesting for you to go check that out and figure out what your type is. It's very, very telling. I freaking love it. But that interview, wow.
The one thing that came from me was the insistence on self-education. They were really big on making sure that everybody is up to snuff at all times. Kenna brings in different traveling hairstylists and we'll bring them in to keep education and to make sure that they're on top of every new style going forward.
First of all, that's amazing. First of all, to be able to work at a place where they're consistently investing in your education, you have to be lucky to find that kind of place. I know that's something that more and more millennials are looking for now in the workplace, but it doesn't exist everywhere. And so being at a place where you're continually growing and improving feels really good on the inside. It just feels good. And you get to learn and educate and get better. How freaking cool is that? But think about it like, okay, so now that's the employee side. But now as the business owner side, that training is an expense. Okay, that's a day where their salon is not bringing in money because they're not bringing in clients, but they see how much that's going to help their employees get to the next level and how much their stylist gets to the next level and how much that's going to help them take their clients to the next level. And so they see the long-term gains. And that's what you have to be focusing on, like training. And especially like if you're a salesperson and your business is not investing in you, then invest in yourself. Okay, figure out a way to take a percentage of your commissions earned and put it back into A, lead generation to get more clients, and B, personal or self-development, because that is what's going to take you off the charts to the next level. And it's not just the money you're going to spend investing in it, but it's the time that you're going to take, the time that you're going to spend is an investment too. And so be wary of that, but know that that is so critical to getting to that next level that you want to get to. So I love that they do that. I think it's so freaking phenomenal.
And speaking of investing in yourself, we have the Woo Wednesday, don't we?
Woo Wednesday. I love it. I think you just coined that term, Nada. So, okay, I just pulled a card right before this from Work Your Light Oracle Cards. I get no compensation from Rebecca Campbell, who wrote these
yet.
Cards. By the way, yet, that's right. But, don't you feel so zen right now? I love that. I feel like I'm at a spa. Wow. All right, so I just pulled a card from this deck, and the card is Fill Up Your Well, Retreat, Rest, Refuel. And I want you to think about, we just talked about personal development, but how ironic is this? This is another way to invest in yourself. How often are you filling up your own well? And are you putting others before you, or are you actually realizing that you need to fill up your well first so that you can fill others' wells, other people's wells, in the best way possible? You know, we're running around all the time and we're so busy and focused on achievement and focused on results and focused on all the tasks that we have to do. And sometimes it's, you know, stuff with your dogs or stuff with your kids or your spouse or going on a date or whatever it may be, that we forget sometimes, I know I do this too, to really take care of yourselves. So your woo moment this week is a really nice reminder to do something today that's going to fill up your well. I feel so zen now. All right, guys, this show is over for today. Come back and see us tomorrow because we have another great episode coming your way. Until next time, I'm Jen Gluckow, and whether you're a male or a female, I hope you crush today.
This has been a presentation of the Sell or Die Network. For more podcasts that you can take out into the street and turn into money, visit SellorDieNetwork.com.